Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show as we get things going here for Monday. A couple of great interviews coming up with Steve as he will talk with Joe Susan of the Bucknell Bison. Also have an opportunity to chat with Nathan Davis of the Bucknell Bison basketball team that had a loss to Wake Forest yesterday, but a game in which Bucknell really commanded at least the first half, shot about 60% from outside the arc. At one point in the I would say until about the 10 or 8-minute mark of the first half, was shooting nearly 70% from outside the arc. Had a lead by as many as 12, as I recall, and ended up falling in the second half to Wake Forest. So we'll talk with Nathan Davis about that. We also have a couple of kickoff times set, as you may have heard over the weekend and probably have by now. Penn State and Michigan will kick off at noon with a 10:30 airtime. Michigan State is now a 10:30 airtime and noon kickoff the following Saturday.
No, it's not. It's 3:30 and 2. Michigan State's 3:30 and 2.
Well, that I got wrong info then. That stinks.
Who gave you that info?
I got an email about it. Maybe I read the email wrong.
Michigan's noon. Michigan State's 3:30.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it, seeing as you'll be there. I'm not going to doubt you.
I'm just saying, it's because Ohio State Michigan's the noon game.
Right, right. This, yeah, we definitely know this week's the noon game.
No, I said Ohio State Michigan is a noon game.
Oh. No, actually, I did have it right. I said it wrong. Okay. Huh. All right. Huh? Well, I actually tweeted that out earlier today, but I did tweet it out correctly. I just said it wrong a few seconds ago. Oh, boy.
Do you follow sports?
It's been a hectic weekend, all right?
Hectic weekend?
It was a hectic week. You had a hectic weekend, I know. It was just a hectic weekend for me, and I guess I just...
Why, the protesters at Jersey Shore finally got to you?
No, there wasn't a single person that talked to me at Jersey Shore. That's not true. There were a couple people that did. None of them asked. None of them talked about what you like to refer to as my hate of Jersey Shore.
No, it's just you're just insulting and belittling of them.
Well, they're going to the championship game for the third straight year. Nothing to belittle them about.
Of course not. look, everybody, it's time now for the Kevin Herr rundown of the day.
Well, let me quickly clarify that I did misspeak. Penn State, Michigan State will kick off at 3:30 with a 2:00 airtime next Saturday on WKOK.
Yes.
All right.
This week it's noon.
Yeah, right.
Let me just say something very quickly about the noon kick. If I had my druthers and I'm in charge, this game's at 3:30. Okay? Everybody's set and square as to how I feel about what is the preferred kickoff? 3:30. That said, when you're sitting in a sterile environment in New York, And I always hear people when they're pleading the case, they'll say, but it's a whiteout. It's a senior day. They don't care. They don't care.
No.
You don't understand. Okay? It's a TV show. They have Michigan State and Ohio State at 3:30. ABC National. No regional. ABC National. So what does the Big Ten get? They get on ABC two national, not regional, games. The Penn State and Michigan game is a national ABC game. It is not a regional ABC game. This isn't one of five games across the country. The whole country is watching. Okay? That's the game. It's ABC national, not ABC regional. So they're sitting there in a TV headquarters, and they're saying to themselves, I have Ohio State, Michigan State at 3:30. What's the perfect lead? God, we got Michigan, Penn State. This is great. We'll do an all Big Ten Saturday as two back-to-back national games and a doubleheader. That's what they're thinking. There's no conspiracy about they're just trying to drive attendance down. They just don't understand the importance of the game. They understand the importance of the game. They made it a national broadcast. They didn't make it a regional. They made it a national. Now, again, would I rather see this game at 3:30? Yes. Do I want it at night? No, I don't know. It's November 21st. No.
I'll pass on the night game. Thank you.
But, okay, this is not a conspiracy. All right? It is called programming. We have this brand new TV show, Wings. What do? We put it on after Cheers. More people will watch.
That's a good show, too.
But I'm saying, though, that's the concept of TV programming. The concept of TV programming is you want one audience to stick around and lead into the next. That's it. It's really that simple. College football and men's college basketball are TV shows. TV shows. And that's why I always crack up every time. I mean, internally, I just laugh so hard when I hear college hockey fans complain about their game is Thursday night. We're a Friday-Saturday sport. Really? Or wrestling fans. I can't believe they're wrestling at this time and on this day. Welcome to the real world. Okay? Welcome. Welcome. Okay? You're a TV show. It's great. You've become a TV show. Good. Good for you. Hey, all right. Guess what? We've been living this, the rest of us, for years and years and years. You know, college football, 1:30 kickoff, Beaver Stadium, long gone, not happening ever again. College basketball, Wednesday, Saturday. Nope, not happening. This year, Penn State, for example, plays every day of the week except for Friday. No, that's not true. There's a Friday game this week. Penn State plays every day of the week this year. Literally. They have at least one game on every day of the week. Okay. That's reality. That's why when I hear other sports complain, wrestling, oh, they're putting us Monday night. Looks like Monday night. Okay. Well, that's your choice. You want to go Monday night. I don't care, but if you want it on TV, I mean, don't complain that you don't get any TV coverage if you're not willing to move. Hockey gets thrown on a Monday night time slot or a Thursday night time slot. I always hear complaints. You know, hey, we're a Friday-Saturday sport. TV doesn't care that you're a Friday-Saturday sport. They have a time slot open on Thursday at 9. You're playing. That's just a reality of it. So, you know, what the heck? It's an ABC national game. They didn't take it and make it one of the five regional games at noon. And like, you know, here's some scraps we gave you the eastern part of the country. You know, I don't care if you're in Hawaii, Alaska, California, North Carolina, Maine, whatever. You're all, you know, your game on ABC at noon is Penn State, Michigan. You get to tailgate in the morning, have a blast. You get plenty of time after the game to tailgate. Students here? What the heck? If you can't roll out of bed by 10. Everything shuts down at 2. I mean, you can't roll out of bed at 10. You have no class the next week at all. There's nothing due. No projects, no tests. You know, you already bought the ticket. Go to the game. And go home later. Game's over. So, I mean, again, I would have preferred 3:30. I think that would have been the most effective with the whiteout, things like that. I completely understand that. But at the same time, you have to understand that there is a reality. And the reality is this. Whether it's the NFL, which is going to have the Cardinals on Sunday Night Football 2 weeks in a row, and they have a Thursday night game coming up this week. It's Tennessee-Jacksonville, it turns out, this week. Television pays all this money. You become a television show. So you're in time slots. Why is Penn State playing basketball tomorrow at 5 o'clock? It's a Tuesday. Do you think somebody sat back and said, hey, this will be really great. We'll put the game at 5 o'clock. You know, everybody working on campus can just come over when their work day's over with. And the students, you know, class over, they can kind of come over and everybody be done by 7:30. It's great. No, that wasn't the idea. The idea was ESPN in its 24 hours of college basketball wanted Penn State DePaul to be in the 5 o'clock time slot. So, voila, there it is. It's part of the Gavitt games. That's the reality of it. There's no grand conspiracy. Nobody's sitting back saying, hey, you know what? We put Penn State, Michigan, we're going to stick it to Penn State, put the game at noon. What do you think? Do you really think that conversation takes place? Really? Or do you really think that TV networks, which now are in the November sweeps, are looking for a doubleheader on ABC on Saturday that will win the time period for each? Ponder which question they are asking themselves. Do you think we should stick it to Penn State and put it at noon? Or if we put Penn State, Michigan at noon and Michigan State, Ohio State at 3:30, we'll win the ratings. Which question do you think they asked? Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
So, Bucknell Monday, and we've got a lot going on this week. Jim Brandstetter, play-by-play voice of Michigan. John Bacon's on the show this week. Jack Hamm. Gene Deckerhoff, the legendary play-by-play voice of Florida State football, basketball, and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Yeah. We have a lot going on this week. Brandon Gowden's on the show this week. We have plenty going on. And not only that, the Kevin Herr memo of the day. Let's review very quickly and try not to spend too much time on this thing, but this, let's see. Topics. Penn State to play a pair of noon kickoffs? No, that's incorrect.
Yeah, I realize so, that. Thank you for reading that again.
That one's wrong. It's noon Saturday, 3:30 the week after. Sam Bradford, can Sanchez get the Eagles to the playoffs? No, he's a backup quarterback. You know, you have to understand that backup quarterbacks have a shelf life of usually 1 to 2 games.
Yeah, but he was a starter.
No, you don't understand, okay? Backup quarterbacks have a shelf life of 1 to 2 games. They do not have long term in their deal. The reason that they are not long term is the reason they are backup quarterbacks. If they were starting quarterbacks that could take you to the playoffs, they would be, guess what? Starting. There's a reason you're a backup. You're capable. You can step in. You can hold the fort for a little bit, but you are not a long-term solution. But what makes it interesting are delusional people such as yourself who believe such things.
I asked a question. I didn't say I believed it.
No, you said, but you got him. He's been to the playoffs before.
I was stating a fact that he's been a starter before and he's had some success. That's all I was stating.
Yeah, so was Zeke Bratkowski. Are the Packers done?
Who?
Are the Packers done? No, but they have to come up with a different way of playing. Because right now they're doing a good job of keeping Rodgers in the pocket, containing him, while also shutting down the running game. Teams are doing a very good job of that. Rodgers is very effective once he escapes contain and then creates a play. What's got into the Redskins yesterday? Who'd they beat?
No, I don't remember.
It wasn't the Patriots.
No, New Orleans, wasn't it? Yeah, it was New Orleans.
And what did New Orleans do today?
Went back to practice?
Fired Rob Ryan, their defensive coordinator.
Well, I thought I heard that they said they didn't fire him.
Nah, he's out. This is the same New Orleans team that, by the way, gave up 49 to the Giants. Andy Dalton's 2-6 in primetime games, 53% completion, 7 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Does that mean anything going into tonight's game? No. The two wins they have come in the last two of the wins have come in the last 3 games. It's irrelevant. It's all about matchups. They play Houston tonight. They're a better team than Houston. They'll win the game.
By the way, Steve, USA Today is reporting as of 2:30 that Rob Ryan is still the defensive coordinator for now.
Oh, goody.
Now, if there have been rumors that your job has now been given, that you have been fired from your job, and now they're saying, well, maybe not, should you be worried about your job? I think yes.
Probably. But your point on the primetime record, things like that, that's called thinking too much. Everything is now within the moment. All right? If you have a history with a team, for example, you're going to play, you know, here's one. Beating a team 3 times in 1 year is really tough. No, not really. If you're better than the other team, you should be able to beat them 3 times in a year. You're better. All right? But if they're really good games where, for whatever reason, you made a play here, you made a play there, and you won the 2 games, and you're evenly matched, yeah, it's tough to beat a team 3 times in a year. But for the most part, when you're, say, the number 1 seed and you're the number 8 seed in the tournament because you each earned being a 1 and an 8 and they beat you twice this year, guess what? I do not for a second believe in the theory of it's difficult to beat a team 3 times in a year. Sometimes you're just better. You have better people. Better people usually makes a big difference. I realize that my solutions are too simplistic for the show. I understand that. But they're not wrong.
They're really no fun.
Well, it's like you say, they're X and X in prime time. Who cares? It's all about the matchup. If you have a bad matchup, you'll lose.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. How'd you find out why? Pretty simple formula. They get the best insurance at the best price for their customers. Time now for a look at this day in sports history. And then Joe Susan in a moment. The first ever New York Rangers game played. They beat the Montreal Maroons 1-0. Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns set an NFL season record of 1,163 yards rushing. He didn't in eight games. Bill Russell, NBA record 32 rebounds in the first half in 1958. Wow. President Nixon becomes the first president to attend a regular season NFL game. Cowboys beat the Redskins 41-28 in 1969. NFL players end their strike in 1982. Watch the movie The Replacements. That'll tell you something. Let's see. And finally, Roger Clemens of the Blue Jays became the first pitcher to win five Cy Young Awards. That's this day in sports history. We now bring in the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
It's good to be back, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. All right, now you've got the finale on the road up in Hamilton. Where are you right now as a team? I mean, is this, you've talked often about this being a close-knit group. Still the same case with this team?
I believe so, yeah. They understood why Saturday happened. We really didn't play very well collectively in the first half, and Holy Cross jumped to a 20-0 lead. And then we just, from an offensive standpoint, we have such a thin margin of error, and you can't point to one particular position, but you can also point to all of them. And we wound up keeping them to, and they're an explosive offense, we wound up keeping them to 3 points in the second half. It's just we did not do our job offensively, and you know, as the head football coach, one of the things that you can readily become prone to is looking forward to what you're doing in December, what you're doing in January. But to understand that this is a one-game season, and it is something that it, obviously it's going to be our seniors' last game. We did the senior day home ritual on Saturday. It's a senior's last game, but it's also a game for the younger guys to set the tempo and momentum for what we have to do in the offseason. And right presently, we're starting two seniors on defense and three seniors on offense. And, you know, experience means a lot, but that could easily be seen as a cliche. We have to get better, and we have to get better offensively. And when the season is over, that is something that I have to evaluate in terms of, and it starts with me, and all parts of the program come under evaluation. In that, going into the season, we had high expectations, and in all honesty, I think in many ways we've underachieved, and that's where it comes back to the top. You know, everything rolls uphill in those cases. So I believe the way we approached it last night was the best way to, and I shared with you, it's a one-game season. It's the last game right. that the seniors will play. And then it gives you a chance to create some momentum going in into the next season, because you're playing against a team that has not lost a game in the league. They've already clinched the championship. And but I know they'll play hard because it's Colgate-Bucknell. That's the other thing. Right. And I know our guys will play hard because it's Colgate-Bucknell.
I've been around a lot of teams in my career, Joe, that had a small margin for victory. I mean, where they just couldn't make a lot of mistakes.
Correct.
Do you sense at times, and this is something I've observed over the years in the teams I've broadcast that had that small margin, that in that striving, knowing that you have to be perfect,
that sometimes you put too much pressure on yourself to be perfect because you know if you make an error, it could be the one that costs you?
I believe that's the case, and I don't want to single anybody out, but I think our quarterback's like that, and he prepares the way you want him to prepare. He takes everything maybe too seriously, but I think at that position you have to. And he puts a lot of pressure on himself and is a guy that wears it on his sleeve. And
yeah.
You know, our offensive line, we have to get better. Giving up 7 sacks. You know, I've been on teams where they didn't give up 7 sacks in an entire year. To do that in a game, one game, that's frustrating to say the least. But it's a collective thing. We really, even though we had the wind at our back in the first quarter on Saturday, we really played from behind in field position. And sometimes when the field's tilted that way, it's hard to drive it the length of the field. Our first punt from a great punter was off the side of his foot, and I think it went 18 yards. And that wound up being frustrating because it gives him a short porch. And with a quarterback like Peter Polhaus, you don't want to do that. You know? And having seen him in the past, seen him on film, and every time you see a kid like that in person, you know how good he is. And he's good not just with what he does, but how he manages the game. And a very good player.
We often talk about seniors being leaders on any team. Joe, what are your observations of your sophomore and junior class? Are you seeing some leadership quality there that's going to be the next step for you?
Very much so. Young men like Mark Piles, who really does everything we ask, and then some. Ben Richard, both the linebackers. Connor Golden is more a leader by example. And then the combination of Ben Schumacher and Abdullah Anderson in the front, both those guys have had really good years. And they lead the defense in terms of not just by what they say, but by what they do and how they prepare. And then offensively, Julian Davenport, other than last week, has really had a very good year. And had some difficulties in pass protection this week, and that's when you get exposed. But the thing that we need is more leadership on our offense, and as younger guys become more significant in their roles, it's going to be interesting to see them step up. You want every coach in America wants a leader in the offensive line. Because if that guy's the rock and he can get that through to his other line mates and that becomes a force for you, then I think you have the making of a good football team in all three phases. And that's what Julian's challenge is going to be. You know, he is someone who, very elite athlete, very good player. He's got to take more charge as a leader, and that's one of the challenges we'll make to him in the off season. But it's got to start tomorrow, and
right.
We're not looking to an off season; we're looking for the next win.
Exactly, Joe. As the season's gone along, when you put young players in, sometimes, and this is a generalization, but sometimes they have a tendency early in their careers to do things by the numbers. And then as time goes, the game becomes more instinctive to them, and they let their talent take over. Are you seeing a couple of spots on the field with young players, Joe, where that instinctive play is starting to happen from them?
And Marcus Adeyemolola is one of the examples. He was a guy that he's gifted physically. He's just under 6'3". He's about 219 as a wideout. But there were times earlier when he started to get some repetitions that you could tell he was running by the numbers. He was thinking as he took every step, and I think he really had a very good game this past week against Holy Cross, where he came out of his shell some. Joe DeFloria the same way. And Joe's battled some injuries that really haven't – we haven't seen what he can do best. Then Alan Butler as well. You know, Alan actually had an illness that kept him out for over 2 weeks, which was frustrating because it started out as just congestion and it exploded. But that's one of the things I said at one of the luncheons. If I had one thing to tell the parents of the people that I recruit, I would tell them this when their children were in kindergarten. Let them get sick. All right? Because when they get to college, they haven't been sick yet, and then they get hammered as the college environment spreads things around. You know, it's a closed environment. But we do have some very gifted young players. Joe Laurel as a safety. Joe Laurel is the best flyer in the league because he's so fast and so deliberate. And he did some really good things against Khalif. I forget Khalif's last name. Number 7 from Holy Cross, who's a hell of a player and a great returner. And Joe tracked him down twice and just stopped him in his tracks, which those are the things. And then Nick O'Brien, you know, had some issues early in the season. Just if you were to watch the game film, there were two punts that Holy Cross made where Nick did such a great job of making him think he was going to catch it, and that's doing what he's coached, that they wound up going into the end zone and creating touchbacks, which having it on the 10 and having it on 20 are completely different things.
No doubt.
The youth of our program is in good shape. It's just in this league, you don't have time to be young because you don't redshirt.
Right, exactly. What has made Colgate really good, in your opinion?
I think they're stout defensively. They don't give up the big plays. I think that what makes Colgate, though, is Jake Melville. And he is very similar in terms of his effectiveness to Peter Pohlholz. In a different way, though, because Peter, I think, is a better – he's a good runner, but he's a better passer. I think Jake's a good passer, but a better runner. And Jake is very fast. And they, you know, over the past 2 years, I think they're undefeated in the games he's played. And that's a pretty good statement about a quarterback. You know, they're it's a typical Colgate team. They're tough, they're strong, and their offense complements their defense in that toughness and strength. And I respect the job that Dan Hunt does. I actually texted him a couple times today, and the last text I had was, I'm just trying to distract you with this. But <Right. laughs> I know they're going to play hard against us. And I know they know they're going to the playoffs, but this is Colgate Bucknell, and it's recruiting, and I've never seen a Colgate team not play hard.
Joe, I've never seen a Bucknell team not play hard either, so best of luck coming up on Saturday.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin, and if you guys will have me, I'll talk to you next week.
We would love to have you back. Thanks so much,
All right.
Coach.
All right, my man. Take care.
We will come back. Nathan Davis, by the way, the next half hour, we'll talk with him. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Brandon Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com. We'll also have Donnie Collins on the show tomorrow to talk Penn State football as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, let's start with this. Scratch Ronda Rousey as Sportsman of the Year. Gone. Okay.
Is the horse still in?
And of course the horse is still in. The horse doesn't lose. Okay, the horse is not staring up at the ceiling after getting knocked out. Come on, man.
A horse.
Excuse me. The horse did not disappoint.
I can't deny that.
Okay. The horse built excitement, went out, and won his biggest race with complete ease.
However,
I suppose...
As far as Fox is concerned, would have been better for her to win or lose? Which is more of the story?
Who, what?
if Ronda would have won, would that have been more of a story?
Was that on Fox Sports 1? I didn't even know it was on.
I don't know if it was. Honestly, I don't know if it was on Fox. I think it was a pay-per-view, but Fox is the one that produced it.
It's bad for them. Okay? The sport's in its infancy. They needed a dominant star. And their dominant star got kicked in the head and actually got her backside kicked. Every minute she was out there.
Yeah, I watched some of the highlights. It was not close.
Right, ESPN threw a lot of, you know, ESPN makes a lot of promotional mistakes. This was one of them. And I don't quite get it, understand why they've been promoting this thing so hard with her. I have no idea. Now, I may be missing the boat on this all this MMA stuff or IFC stuff or whatever the heck it's called. I don't know.
UFC.
UFC, whatever. But I have no interest in watching it, but I do know, because I saw the headline, that she got beaten badly. But, no, don't give me this, oh, it's a better story now. What story? It's a non-story. She's done, okay? I mean, even if she comes back and wins, who cares? It doesn't matter. They needed her to keep winning to be the dominant figure of the sport. Okay? They didn't need this. They finally had developed one star. Uno. Hey, this is not like developing, you know, Frazier, Ali, Foreman, you know, Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, Duran. Right? It's not like developing that where, you know, their plot lines, different people are going. They developed a star. And that star was seeing stars.
What was it, second round? I mean, was that even worth the pay-per-view? Because the first four prelims were on Fox Sports 1.
Yeah, this is how bad it is, all right? Who was yapping all summer about taking on Floyd Mayweather? Really? I mean, and people, I never talked about it. The reason I never talked about it is because of the lunacy of it. I don't deal with lunacy on them. Well, I deal with some of the questions you bring up. But I mean,
listen, even I don't think that's a question. All right? Her fighting Floyd Mayweather, that I didn't even have that as a topic anytime, anywhere.
But first, I mean, but she made these statements all summer. And ESPN kept running with it. And talk shows kept talking. About what? Are you insane? I mean, he'd have to sign a waiver that, you know, that if something terrible happened, that he wouldn't be sued.
Yeah, it's not like a tennis match.
No. It's.
Yeah, I that was the craziest thing.
But this is the only star they have. They don't have anybody else. You can throw up whatever card you want the next time up. Her name's not on there. People aren't watching.
But no matter what the fight now, I mean, yeah, there was a two-round fight, you know, in UFC. The Mayweather fight went the distance but was not worth the price that you paid for it. I've heard that from many people.
It was boxing's first ever no-hitter.
I mean, when do we get to the point where we're looking at pay-per-view and going, okay, this really is not worth it. Maybe we should go back to actually broadcasting these fights and creating interest and not having to charge people for them.
Well, you, the fans, determine that. I've never paid for pay-per-view in my entire life.
Now, I've gone to somebody's house that has, but I never have.
You're so cheap.
Well, no, I was invited. It wasn't like I invited myself or anything. It was Holyfield Tyson.
Oh, really?
It was the ear-biting fight.
There's nothing I would pay to see on pay-per-view.
Would you pay to watch the Super Bowl if it was a pay-per-view event?
No.
Honestly, neither would I. But that's because I am too cheap.
Well, I just don't think it's... I don't think you take something like that off free TV.
Even if it's the Steelers, I wouldn't pay to watch it.
That's because you're bitter about Bettis no longer playing.
No, it goes back to me being too cheap.